Good morning to each one, and greetings in our Savior's name. It is a beautiful Lord's Day morning to be together and worship Him. This is one of my favorite times of the year. This morning is council meeting. Council meeting is a time where we examine our lives before God. It's a time where we examine our lives before the brotherhood and our fellow men, prior to coming to the communion table. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with your fellow Christian? We have a relationship with the Father. We have a time to examine our relationship with our fellow man, the horizontal relationships. God created man for relationship. Relationship with the Father and relationship with one another. The Father's love for us was so great that even after man went away from God, God made provision for mankind to be reconciled back to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So as I prayed about what to share this morning for council meeting, my mind went to the vine and the branches. And I want us to consider that this morning. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And what does that connection look like in each of your lives, in my life? So let's ponder that as we go through the message this morning. You may turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. I want to use verses 1 to 17 for the sermon text this morning. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Titled the message this morning, I am the true vine. These statements, I am, of Jesus in the book of John boldly declare his deity. These I ams are absolutes in their declarative truth that Jesus is God in human flesh. In these verses, Jesus gives us a picture of agriculture, growing grapes in a vineyard. And this was common to the people of that time. They understood the importance of pruning and purging if they wanted to have a bountiful harvest. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus could have simply said, I am the vine. But he includes another word. He says, I am the true vine. In the Old Testament, the vine, the vineyard, is a symbol for the nation of Israel. Whenever Israel is talked about in the Old Testament, and this picture of the vineyard is used, it is always describing the failure of Israel to bear fruit. God speaks of Israel as a vine. His vine that he planted, and he speaks of it as a fruitless vine. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah comes right after Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. It says, Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? God is saying, I planted you. I know what I planted was good. How is it that you turned out the way that you did, corrupt and polluted? Time and again, the Lord confronted the nation of Israel for their inability to produce fruit. Now we come to the New Testament, and we have this contrast that Jesus gives related to the vine, and he says, I am the true vine. By that statement, he declares himself to be the one who Israel pointed to, boldly declaring that he is the one who brings forth good fruit. He speaks with an authority that is greater than Moses. These I ams in the book of John declare Jesus' deity. Turn with me to Psalm 80 next. Psalm chapter 80 uses this picture of the vineyard and connects it to the Son of Man. So I want to read Psalm chapter 80. It says, Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all the boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it? Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The psalmist laments the vine that God had planted, but that God has been cutting it back. God has been cutting back. Then the psalmist ends by saying, Let your hand be on the man of your right hand. We know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. Jesus is the true vine. my father is the vine dresser. Or we could say he is the farmer or the gardener. God is the master gardener. I'm back in John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Jesus speaks of you and I as believers are the branches of the vine. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Notice the relationship. It would be nothing without the vine. The branches must be connected to stay alive. When a branch is cut off, it dies. If we are the branches and Jesus is the true vine, we must understand our relationship to him. Our life is a result of being connected to him. So this morning, let's examine that connection. What does that connection look like in your life? Next thing I see here in verse 2 is that it's the branches. We as the branches are the ones who produce fruit. Jesus said, I am the true vine, but you are the branches. And that is where the fruit is going to be. That is where my fruit is going to show up on you. It is his fruit, because we receive our life from him. Our ability to grow fruit comes from him. It's his fruit. Again, notice the relationship here. We draw life from the vine. We then give back life. Or we give our life back to the vine in the bearing of fruit for the vine. It's a beautiful relationship. Also, in verse 2, we see that the unfruitful branches he takes away. Jesus is not talking about losing your salvation. When Jesus saves you, you will produce fruit. If you're connected to the true vine, you will bear fruit. In Matthew 7, we see that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. He's talking about how that we cannot bear fruit apart from being connected to the true vine. The branch that bears fruit, he purges. He prunes the branches so they will be more productive, that they will be even more fruitful. Let's think about pruning. When you take a tree or you prune something, it's not always the most pleasant thing to look at. But as you have that new growth come forth and produces fruit in abundance, then it's a beautiful thing. Notice with me in verse 3 what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus made a similar statement when he was washing their feet during the Last Supper. He said, you are already clean except for one. He was referring to Judas. There's this supernatural cleansing ability that is found in the Word of God. The Word has this cleansing. And that cleansing doesn't always come easy. It's often a painful process. The word of God convicts me, and it exposes what is really in my heart. Verse 4 says, abide in me. Abide means to remain or to stay. Remain in me, stay in me, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. The branch that is not connected to the vine cannot bear fruit. Jesus is saying you must stay connected to me in order to bear fruit. He is our life, and he is our source of life. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We must abide. It is essential to life. Here we see our union with Christ. It is unique to the Christian experience. This is expressed in Scripture by Christ, as Christ being in the believer and the believer being in Christ, abiding in Christ. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Cross-reference of this verse is 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." A branch only has life as it is connected to the vine. A disciple only spiritually lives as they are connected to the Master, the I Am. In the book of John, we have 7 I Ams. They are, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the resurrection and life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine." Jesus said, "If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing." Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." In the next verses, Jesus ramps it up even more. Here we have, "Keep my commandments." We also have, "These things I command you." The word "friend" in verse 15 is used to express a special and exclusive relationship, something intimate. In the disciples' minds, the word "disciple" was synonymous with the word "servant." They served their master. Now here, their master calls them friends. I believe that in the Old Testament, Abraham was the only person that God outright called a friend. If I did my study correctly, don't correct me later if that's not correct. Jesus goes on to clarify what he means to be identified with him as a friend. It's important to the disciples and it's important to us as well. He is calling us friends. It's not just limited to the disciples who were with him. He is talking about believers here. The relationship of the Savior to the believers and all believers throughout time. It's important that we understand what he means by friendship. You will notice that friendship with Jesus is expressed in several different ways throughout these verses. Verse 10, Jesus says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You may look at this verse and say, it's about obedience. What does that have to do with friendship? But Jesus used his own relationship with the Father as an example for the relationship between himself and us. Jesus talked about us keeping his commandments, but he qualified it by saying, "Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." He highlights for us this profound relationship and love that he has for his Father as the focus. For the friendship, the connection, the relationship that you and I now have with God. Jesus, in speaking of his own relationship to the Father, Jesus is opening our eyes to something much deeper and far more intimate than just a master-servant relationship. Because Jesus and the Father didn't have a master-servant relationship. They had a love relationship that was connected in an intimate way. That is the intimacy that Jesus is speaking about as it relates to our relationship with him. It centers around the idea of obedience. But obedience centers around the idea of love. The bottom line to our obedience to God is governed by our love for God. You as parents, if your child is out in the road and you call them to get out of the road, you expect them to obey, but it's your love for them that you ask them to get out of the road. The whole idea of obedience is based on love. The most powerful dynamic behind the obedience of friendship is love. Verse 11, we have another dynamic of friendship. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The sharing of joy is another dynamic of friendship. Any of you that are married understand that being able to share with your spouse is a powerful part of being connected with another human being on earth. It is such a joy. Jesus is doing what friends do. He says, "I want you to know my joy." That joy comes through obedience. There's this great joy that comes through that. And Jesus wants us to be able to share that. The joy of the Lord in us through relationships. It's an abiding joy. It's constant. It's ongoing. It's an ongoing joy of understanding that I am in right relationship with God and we're friends. It says, "I call you friend." This is a joy that outside of Christ, people don't experience. They don't know this joy that you and I have of being one with the Lord. It's a connection of intimate relationship, intimate friendship. In verse 12, he raises the bar even higher, where he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." There's no greater expression of love than one laying down his life for his friends. Verse 14, we see that being a friend is conditional. It is obedience. Friendship with Jesus can't be disconnected from obedience to his commands. He says, "Love as I have loved you." You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus zeroes in on a specific command, and that is to love one another. He is now talking about how that we love one another. Council meeting is where we look at our relationship with God, our spiritual state, and also with each other. How we treat one another and how we love one another. Jesus says here, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." But he doesn't just stop there. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you." He shows us what love should look like. "Greater love hath no man than this, lay down his life for his friends." If you want to talk about real love, if you want to talk about the greatest expression of love, he points to the cross. The greatest expression of love is the cross. It is not what you do, it is what Christ did for you and me. "Greater love hath no one than this, than one should lay down his life for his friends." That is the best that you can do. Because when you have given yourself, you have given everything that there is to give. There is no more to give. All that you have, all that you are, you gave. Jesus gave his life for you and I. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you." And the next thing that Jesus says about friendships is in verse 16. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." In Jesus' day, it was common for a disciple to choose their master. They would choose whichever master to follow. Here Jesus tells his disciples, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Again, we're not talking about salvation. The context is friendship. I chose you to be my friend. I chose you to come into this relationship. You didn't have to come and ask me, "Lord, may I be your friend?" I chose you to be my friend. So let's think about, who do we choose to be our friends? Do we choose people like that? Or do we choose people who are already friendly toward us? We choose people who we think will compliment us well. Who did Jesus choose to be his friends? Paul tells us in Romans 5, let's turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. He says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It says, while we were yet sinners. That means enemies of God. When you, when I was at my worst, Jesus chose me to be his friend. That is the difference between Jesus and us when it comes to choosing our friends. Why did he choose us? It says that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That means that it should last. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Jesus connected fruit bearing with answered prayer. When he departed from them, their experience of asking and receiving would not end. Change. And Jesus was preparing his disciples for this. Friendship is about sharing. Jesus chose us as his friends that he might share with us the joy of fruitfulness in relationship with the Father. He has a joyful and fruitful relationship with the Father. He says, "I want to share that with you. I want you to have it too. By me abiding in you, enabling you, equipping you to go out and bear fruit that will last to eternity." That is what he means by fruit that will remain. Fruit will last. When you stand before God and he points to that fruit and says, "Look what you did in my name. Look at what you accomplished in my name. Look at the people that you reached, the people that you had prayed for, the people you loved in my name. The cup of cold water that you gave to that child in my name." That will be a time of joy and rejoicing. Lasting fruit that will remain. The friendship that Jesus wants to have with you is singular and undivided. That means that if you are a friend of God, you cannot at the same time befriend anything that is contrary to God or in opposition to God. Friendship is exclusive. You cannot be on friendly terms with the world. James 4:4 says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." That is sobering. For the time being, the world is a kingdom that is ruled by Satan. Jesus told us that. He is the one who called Satan the prince of this world. And that is why the world is filled with violence, chaos, and pain. It's a kingdom that defies and rejects God. What did Jesus tell Pilate? Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." The kingdom of this world says, trust in yourself. You have rights. Believe in yourself. Follow your heart. The kingdom of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The kingdom of this world is unforgiving and violent. You have things like slander, false accusations, bitter words. The kingdom of God says, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Pray for your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Seek their well-being. Never return evil for evil. We are to return good for evil. Love people. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. God knows our hearts. He cares about who you are on the inside. Love as God loves. It's not about getting. It's about giving your life away in the kingdom of God. Sharing as God shares, serving one another. The kingdom of God asks, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Paul in Galatians 6 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Jesus says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Jesus commanded love among the disciples. When he departed from them, they must not disband or turn against each other. And Jesus prepared them to stay together and love one another. So in closing, results of obedience that we see here. Abiding in his love, we see the fullness of joy. We see the love for one another. We see friend relationship instead of a servant-master relationship. We see fruit remains, and we have answered prayer. Abiding in Jesus means abiding in his words and having his words living in us. A branch that bears much fruit brings honor to the one who cares for the vine. And a disciple who bears much fruit in a spiritual sense brings honor to God. The Father loved the Son with a love that has no beginning, no end, with a love that is close and personal, with a love that is without measure, with a love that is unchanging. In Matthew 22, we have the lawyer who asked Jesus the question. He said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The lawyer asked for the greatest commandment. Jesus gave him two. He said, And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The song, I Am the Vine, by Noel Shaw. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Bear precious fruit for Jesus today. Branches in him no fruit ever bearing. Jesus hath said, he taketh away. Now ye are clean through words I have spoken. Living in me, much fruit ye shall bear. Dwelling in you, my promise unbroken. Glory in heaven with me ye shall share. Yes, by your fruits the world is to know you. Walking in love as children of day. Follow your guide, he passeth before you, leading to realms of glorious day. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. I am the vine, be faithful and true. Ask what you will, your prayer shall be granted. The Father loved me, so I have loved you. May the Lord add his blessing. Let's have a song, and we'll turn the time over to Brother Philip.